The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
And sure.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. For some reason, I always sound Canadian when I say that.
You don't sound Canadian. You sound like a creep.
Do I?
Okay, but wait, do they still present Footy Prime?
As of till tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, tomorrow, that's
and
right.
We'll thank them. Yeah, we'll thank them tomorrow for their 5-6 month long sponsorship.
Support, so yeah. And then they might still be around longer as well.
Yeah.
Right. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Or well, the next podcast anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi,
JC's
hi,
not Charles. Here. JC's being a dad. But the rest of us, that's well in the past. We've given up on our kids. No, we haven't. We're good parents, I think. But we all feel that we have new sons, don't we, this morning, given how our brave boys performed this weekend across the world of football. It was a brilliant couple of days, especially Saturday. In particular, it was special. So it actually inspired Wonga here to come up with a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll throw out this week, it will be the inaugural Canadian Player of the Week on Footy Prime, which we've never done before, male or female, depending on whose cream rose to the top. Oh, that's just...
Oh, stop it. See? I know that was innocent and all, but it comes out of your mouth. It's like, come on. But listen, we've got to think of a fun... You can't just say Canadian of the Week.
I'm still laughing.
We've got to think of some gross. Cool name for it.
You totally didn't mean that either.
No, it just came out because I'm gross.
So we've got to think of some kind of mildly amusing way to present it and name, not just Canadian of the Week, because everyone does that or have done that, right? So we think of saying, any ideas? We can just
I do
blue sky
random sponsors that we want. Just add their name.
Brought to you by.
Brought to you by. Yeah.
Lake just call it the brought to you by.
Lake America's Canadian of the Week.
God.
It could be like the maple angle. Like we believe for, it doesn't have to be pun heavy, and then it could be the sweetest performance of the week. Mm. It could be tied to maple. Yeah.
Especially if we've got a sponsor. Say Tim Hortons sponsors us, for example. That'd be ideal. Maybe we'll say the actual specific wordage depending on the sponsor.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And then
what about the butt of the week?
Bud. Oh, bud. That's very Canadian.
It's a bud before it turns into a leaf.
Bird.
Mm. No, it's bird. Too maple leaf centric. I hate it.
No, but that's the point, though.
Hate it.
Jeez. No, but I don't want to be like Toronto maple leaves. We're talking about
Canadian
maple leaves. Like the leaves of the buds, right? Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll
go Habs, go.
Okay.
Shut
Footy
up.
Prime Supporters Club and Footy Prime supporters across, help us. YouTube, Apple, comments, wherever you can reach us, Twitter.
It's a time and opportunity to really celebrate Canadian players and Canadiana and just stuff it down the throats of certain people as much as we can. All right. So there you have it. So anyway, that being said, a working title is Player of the Week, Canadian Player of the Week. Okay.
Breaking barriers on Footy Prime.
Player of the Week.
So who should it be this week? I mean, listen, it all kind of started, right, with Fonzie on Friday, starting with Bayern Munich. He was great. I was doing the game with Jordan Wilson on One Soccer. He was really good in that match. It was not quite the old Fonzie, but he was dynamic. His passing was great, making those bursts into those little pockets. He was aggressive, looked confident. We're all like, every time he sprinted. But he got through 70 or 70-odd minutes, whatever it was. But that'll be the way for a while, Right. It was funny because Jordan calls it, like we call it now, the Costco rule, because Jordan said he works at Costco. There's a 3-month probationary period when he went to Costco. And this is kind of it. You get through 3 months injury free for Fonzie, then we can relax. That was a kind of the thought process.
Oh, I see.
I've never heard of a Costco 3-month probationary period, but that's
did funny. You work there? Did you work there?
No. Oh, see, I wasn't thinking about it from an employee perspective. I was thinking about it like, I want a Costco card and I want to purchase items at your store. 3 months probation. Like, what?
Yeah. But so 3 months, right? So anyway, Fonzie was great. And then Saturday happens and all these goals start flying in. I mean, okay, Craig, throw out someone that could be in contention for the player of the week.
Liam Miller.
Costco. Liam Miller, yeah. That's kind of an obvious.
He's on no probation. Well, maybe he is, but I don't.
Well, there's rumors about him being loaned out to Stoke right before this match.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So maybe he is, kind of. But the goal, Craig, came after a miss. He kind of needed it, but it was as the commentators, when they analyzed it, Alan Shearer in particular, saying, real clever finish.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, he had that miss. He came on with 31 minutes left in the game. And he had an impact. There was a while there he was settling in, but his runs and his movement was really good. Then he gets a break and he has this chance. I mean, it was a decent opportunity, obviously. Top of the box, just misses the post. Against the run of play, I have to say, I mean, they're not worried about possession, Hull. And Coventry had the massive amounts of possession in the second half. It looked as they were knocking on the door, and the keeper made a really good save. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, counterattack. And he even looked as though he has some pace, either that or the center back was running in quicksand. But
I think it was a bit of both.
Broke away. It was brilliantly done. Nice finish, tidy, and they sneak away with their second win in 2 games in the Premier League. Amazing start, 6 points. And Liam Miller, first Premier League goal in his second Premier League match. Pretty brilliant. Pretty hard to beat. I mean, there were some other great performances in the championship, especially, you could argue. But Liam Miller, for me, is the Canadian player of the week.
I like that. I also really loved the ode to Jimmy Brennan with the celebration showing his name to the crowd.
Yeah, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, he stole your
respect,
move.
Respect, man. That's respect.
Yeah, but he's going to regret it. You'll regret it.
On the front, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's all about Miller this weekend. it was a beautiful goal. And just to see a Canadian boy, you know, scoring in the Prem, it's been a while, hasn't it? So it was outstanding.
It's been a while. Hopefully. Who would be the last? Jefferson, I guess?
Did he score? He didn't score in the Prem, I don't think, did he?
Not in the Prem, eh?
In the Cup. Jeez. I don't think he did. So I'm trying to think who. Jesus, that's a great question. So 14th Canadian, apparently, to play in the Prem. 14th?
Yeah. It's either got to be Stolle or Junior Hoilett or Rosinski. Junior. One of those three.
Junior was after Rosinski, wasn't he? A little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly. Of course he was. Yeah. So it's probably Junior. Well, maybe, you know what it could be? Who it could be? David Edgar.
No.
Yeah, that beauty for Newcastle.
Says no.
Well, I know it was. No. But it was a beauty, but... Is not
Junior was after too.
Yeah.
But one to start hitting.
I'm trying. I'm looking it up. AI. It's giving me Liam Miller from yesterday. Liam Miller.
Let me see. Did Jamie Peters play with Ipswich when they were up last? No, he didn't, did he?
No.
Man. This is.
Okay, well, anyway. I'll get back to you. You guys keep going.
Well, it's probably been stories written about
the first Canadian international to score in the Premier League.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He would have been our Canadian player of the week all those years ago had there been podcasts and internet. Yeah. All those years ago when he played. Excuse me.
Yeah, but back then that was the commentators were like, it was a beautiful day and
like the wireless.
And Frankie Yallop has scored a goal.
It's the Canadian international.
I haven't found the answer to your question, Sharms, but this is a good nugget here. This is from Soccer World News headquarters. It says, Liam Miller becomes the 9th Canadian Premier League history to score a goal. The others are Thomas Rudzinski, Junior Hoilett, Scott Arfield, Simeon Jackson.
Scotty Arfield.
Frank Yallop, David Edgar, Daniel Jebison, and Paul Stalteri.
Oh, Jebo did score.
Yeah. Greg DeForest is correct.
So that's
2021?
So you know, yeah, Jebison scored for Bournemouth. against Man City on May 20th, 2025. We should know that. We should remember. Oh, congrats, Daniel Jebison, on your,
but
your
I'm
player
with
of these two last 2 years.
I'm with Sharms, though. Like, I thought about Jebo, but I thought it was a non-league play. I thought it was in Carabao Cup, or I thought it was an FA Cup or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Our apologies to Dan Jebison. Sorry. It's you. And I forgot about Scott Arfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a really good player. All right, there you have it. So right now we have a vote for Liam Miller. Dubs, do you have who else can we talk about? Kyle, obviously, a brace for Southampton.
Yeah.
Including the goal he scored. The
goal, I know. Well, sure. Yeah, I'll give it to him. It was a beauty, yeah.
Bergkamp-esque.
Maybe three month probationary period before we can call it Bergkamp-esque. But yeah, it was a great little flick up, and then the patience and the composure to wait for it to fall, and he hits it with that left foot and does really well. But that's now, it's a brace in that match, and five goals and five appearances in all competitions, and I think that's three championship games in a row with a goal to open a season. So he's on a heater. And I think with his performances, and we know what he did for Canada in the World Cup to open that scoring and get that goal to tie Bosnia and Herzegovina, and what it meant to do it at BMO Field in front of Canadian fans, and then dipped a little bit, and you know, fingers in his ears, and we know that he heard the noise and the criticism. So it's just great to see him pick up right where he left off for Southampton in the championship. And we know that strikers, particularly, you know, they're a breed, they're a type of player mentally where they get on these streaks and they can be very difficult to stop. So I love to see it for Kyle Larin. And even though you suggested it, that was going to be my vote for player of the week for our Canadian, our sweet play or our sweet performance.
So yeah, Jimmy, that's a good, the two goals in the championship usurp one goal in the Premier League.
Mm.
Jimmy?
No.
Okay. No. No. I think, look, I was leaning towards Larin getting two goals, but Liam Miller coming on in his performance, I thought he was very good. And to score in a Premier League and get the game winner, you've got to give it to him, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Premier League also, do we have to play that game a little bit too, right? There's a factor of 1.2 or something we have to times it by when it's in the press.
Is it 1.2? That's
I'm just making. I'm just making shit up. But
sounds
no,
good.
No. But I like that.
Yeah.
When the cream comes to the top, it's 1.2. The anyway.
Yeah,
it could be more than 1.2. Well, it could be 1.5.
The cream rises. Please stop saying the cream comes to the top. Please stop.
That's what happened to my house.
But Jimmy, the goal, the Bergkamp-esque goal he scored, I mean, I think it's a bit unfair to say esque. I mean, that was it was something pretty special. I mean, listen, so was Bergkamp's goal, but that was in the Premier League, so it's 1.5 times the goal because of where it was scored. But still, what a finish, and he's getting a reputation for himself now.
Yeah, he is. I mean, look, the fans love him there, and it's like what we always say is, you know, every footballer needs to find his home. And I think Southampton's where Kyle Larin's been at his best. He's scoring goals for fun. He's enjoying his football. They had a tough start as well. They were -4 before the beginning of the season. So they've got to play some catch up here. But there's no doubt in my mind they're going to be in the playoff spot come the next few weeks. They'll work themselves up the ladder. But that finish was first class. You can't take that away from him. It doesn't matter what league it was in. For him to take that touch, flick it over the defender, timing perfect and find the back of the net. It was a great, great finish. But still, I mean, I'm still with Miller. The Premier League is the best league in the world. And for him to score that goal and get his first in the Premier League is something special. That's a special, special moment in his career. I'll never forget that.
Jimmy and Dubs, what's it like coming on 30 minutes in? Is it change? Like, what's your mindset? I know what Craig's is when he has to try, and he's gone out the night before. and he's seeing three balls in the air. But as a player on the pitch, is it a little? Is it? Can it be overwhelming? Can it be like where? What's your preparation? Are you just always ready to play?
You're always ready to play, and you also have a plan. You have to know who you're replacing, what your roles and responsibilities are on set pieces, but mostly you're bringing energy. So you have to know what the coach expects of you tactically. But for me, it's almost a more simple approach where it's like distilled down. You just have to go out and you have to lift and elevate the play, but it's via the fresh legs. And sometimes it can be arduous and it can be tough. Jimmy and I talked about this, that you go out there and you're expected to be the player who's lively, who's got the fresh legs, who's going to make the difference. And sometimes your body doesn't cooperate because you do have a lot in the tank, but it takes you a second to get up to the rhythm and the tempo of the game. But I remember when I went to Nebraska and I'd played wide midfielder for the U-20s, done well, and that's how I got a look there. And then I got an injury. And so then I was on the outside looking in of the starting 11. And then they had the depth at the wide position. And he used me mostly as a striker. And I'd never played striker before. But it just simplified my job. So I just had to go out and I had to wreck stuff. I had to be physical. I had to disrupt. And then obviously offer a little bit of class and quality whenever the ball came to me, which wasn't my bread and butter, but I was able to contribute offensively and lend goals and assists. So it really boiled it down to a really kind of A to B approach, like very linear, very little complication to it, to just go out and get in the way and hopefully help your team. And then, so for me, that was a very easy job to do. And then when I was maybe sometimes starting, then I had to be like, okay, from like mentally now, what do I need to do? But it was very straightforward when I was a substitute, especially coming in as a striker.
Well, when the coach says to you, hey, you're going on and you're going out of position, it's obviously because something's gone terribly wrong with the match, I would imagine. Is that not the case? Like, wow, we've got to try something here.
Because, it can be.
Or obviously an injury and there's no one on the bench. I mean, Jimmy, did you ever go on in a position that you were very unfamiliar with?
Yeah, sometimes you go on and it depends on the game terms. I mean, if you're winning, you might be going in to close it up and make sure you're in defensive shape, see the game out. But for me, if I was on the bench, I was pissed, I'll be honest. So, and then when you do get the call, I was like, fuck, okay, now let's go because I'm going to show you why you should have started me, sort of thing. So that was always my mindset. I hated being on the bench. I wanted to start every single match. And then when you do come on, it's like we say, you know, your subs got to make a difference when you come on. So depending where I was playing, if I came on center midfield, left wing back, you might have 15 minutes, you might have 30 minutes, but you've got to go out there and you got to try to make a difference depending on what the game is telling you, whether you're going for that extra goal or you're trying to defend and close the match up. It depends, but you've got to get your mindset. And it does take a little bit of time as well to get up to the speed of the match, to get your lungs going, your legs going. Mm-hmm. And then once you settle in, then you're fine. You know exactly what your game plan is because you've been told on the bench before you come on what you need to do.
There are certain players, though, that have figured it out because it really is an art form. It's not as easy as it looks, just go out and bang around and provide that energy. Because you sometimes what I would do as that substitute, whether I was playing in the midfield, and to Jimmy's point, like you're going in as a defensive midfielder, I'm trying to lock it down and I'm trying to protect a lead, right? I'm not going to go in, say, for the national team to try to get us a win and if we're chasing the game. Like I'm going in when we're up a goal or we're trying to preserve a lead, trying to get like the draw or get something from it. But for Liam Miller to go in and you've got a half an hour or you've got a handful of minutes, you have to get involved immediately. But then if the ball's on the other side of the pitch, you're not a central player. You're a winger. You have to be so patient with your approach because sometimes you try to do too much to get yourself involved so you can influence the game and then it can get away from you. Then like you wayward touch or a heavy touch and then you're like, okay, maybe a tackle and then maybe you pick up a yellow and then you're thinking, okay, shit, like I've kind of cocked this up. Like what am I going to do now? And you're second guessing yourself. So So it is a little bit of an art form where you have that urgency, where the coach has asked you to get in and impact the game, change the game in some way. But if you're trying too hard, you can do too much, and then that's counterproductive. So I thought he towed that line really expertly, and to have that short memory, he had that miss from a central area, and then when he breaks away from that defender, who did look like he was running quicksand for us, I agree with you, but you see his pace and he takes a clever touch inside and you can see like the shoulders drop, like he doesn't tighten up. He's like, I've got this. And then he gives himself some space with that longer touch so he can run onto it. He did really well there. So memory like a goldfish, short memory. That's what you need as a striker or as a winger. And he finishes it and it's the winning goal. Just brilliant.
Yeah. You know, sometimes as well in those situations, when you break from distance from goal and you're taking that touch, you're coming inside as well because you're trying to get a little bit of a better angle. Sometimes you can overthink the process and it makes it worse, because a lot of times when you're playing, everything's all reactionary where it just comes in, touch, bang, goal, right? You don't have too much time to think. But when you have those moments where you're running up, you see the keeper coming out, you got a defender coming, you take another touch to block his angle. But for him, it was just smooth, wasn't it? He just knew what he was going to do. He came inside, opened up, and just passed it into the back of the net. Mm-hmm. Some players panic when they have too much time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Do tell, Jimmy. Yeah. Just like when Sharms used the word usurp.
So, hello, this kid there, I'm not sure if he's signed just yet or about to be signed, Jean-Mateo Bahoya from Eintracht Frankfurt, left winger.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, Craig, let's hopefully he's changed their minds with this performance. But listen, Stoke's a big club. If it is Stoke, let's just, we'll discuss this if it happens, obviously. But, I mean, we want to see him from a purely selfish standpoint play in the Premier League. And he's shown that he's, you know, obviously quite happy to play in the Premier League. But if it's Stoke and he goes back to the Championship, I mean, from a career standpoint, it's not the worst thing. It's a big club.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, obviously, I don't know. They need a squad of players, and they got a decent squad. They get off to a good start. You know, he's all in, good professional. I'm not sure why they wouldn't keep him around, to be honest with you. But
would you rather, Craig, I mean, we've discussed this before, right? But would you rather, if you're Liam Miller and you're in your, Liam's what, late 20s now? Is he 28 or something? He's around there. He's not a young player. He's in his prime. Would you rather be a bit part player in a promotion campaign that might well end up being a relegation campaign, if you know what I'm saying? Or would you rather be playing week in and week out at a big club like Stoke in the Championship, a league you're familiar with, and which could be a promotion run there?
Yeah,
he's 26, by the way.
Okay, so he's still pretty young, but still. But that's the question, right, Craig? I mean, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that is a good question. Yeah. I don't even know how to answer that. I mean, obviously you want to be playing regularly, but you want to be fighting for the best league, and he's managed to get a couple appearances there, and he's done well while he's, you know, in the process. So, you know, you're fighting for your spot, fighting for those opportunities, hopefully getting some regular football. I think, you know, with the cup competitions and whatnot, I mean, he's going to get playing time, I think, enough. But that would be a question for him, I guess, what he would prefer.
Mm. It can't be fun having your name bandied about, though, right? Heading into a match like that. And then you perform, and people are still on the Monday, Tuesday, still talking about the move that might happen. So sorry about that, Liam, that we're talking about it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's the reality, though.
We'll find out today.
Yeah.
It is. That's football, isn't it?
For tomorrow.
And if I'm Liam Miller, I know you probably want to move on here, Sharms. I want to be given a chance to prove myself, to test my mettle in the best league in the world. You know, you finally get there, like to the Acme, like the summit where you've been fighting, you've been clawing your way up for so long. You're finally there, and it's just a flash in the pan. Like you come on, you get a couple of minutes in back-to-back games, and then you're shipped out back to a league in tier two where you know you can compete. So I think from his perspective, and if I put myself in his shoes, I would love to be able to be given the chance to fight for a starting role and to fight for more of a share of the minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think ideally that's what he'd like to do as well, but there's a lot that's out of your control. So as a player, you just have to control your own performance and you control how you respond to your name being in headlines and maybe potentially, you know, up for a loan or a swap or whatever's happening here with Stoke City or a move, right? Like you have to just compartmentalize what's in front of you, and it's the performance.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do, right? So we'll see. Hey, listen, it's going to be a crazy few days, and there's so many rumors circulating. Pulisic to Spurs is one I just read. One being talked about. So there's some names on the move here. Alfie Jones also scored on Saturday.
How about
good to see
that?
Alfie playing football. Now, I've got a bone to pick with some of our dear listeners and, and those who have commented on Twitter. I'm going to read a little conversation.
And this feature is called Thin Skin Charms.
Oh, no, it's not about me. It's not about me at all. I mean, as thin-skinned as I am, nothing to do with me. No, it's in response to Craig put a post out on Saturday about the performances, including Alfie Jones. So our boy Nameless Dude said, nice, even Alfie, James Charman, great, even though he's really just the English version of Joel Waterman. Glad to see them all back to good health and form. Jack Cool then responded, I disagree with the Waterman comparison. Alfie doesn't get physically bullied. That's the big difference. Nameless Dude then responded, boy, do people get defensive when I bring this up. It's funny. It's always the English people getting wound up. But for fuck's sakes, just because he's English and plays in the championship doesn't make him better. And Joel is a good player. This isn't an insult. They are the same profile. Jack Cool then responds, Waterman is an MLS bench player. Alfie's a starter for every good team in a better league. It's not even close. I would take Ralph Prizo over Waterman. Jesse Marsh didn't. Sorry, I just don't rate your guy. Nameless Dude then responds again, Ralph is my guy too. I'll take him over both, especially if the Wenger offside rule gets widely adopted. Anyway, it goes on and on. It's a good conversation.
Yeah,
it's pretty respectful. I just don't like people using Joel Waterman as their reason why a player is not very good. Joel Waterman is a good footballer, right? And a good career in MLS. Don't always bring up Joel. And is Alfie Jones better than Joel Waterman? Probably. You know, who's seen enough of him playing in Middlesbrough? I haven't seen enough of him. What I've seen is pretty good. He was a starter there in a team that was really fighting for promotion last year. That's enough for me. But yeah, I don't know, Jimmy. Boy, people love to pull a name out of the hat and start criticizing. Why Joel Waterman shouldn't be that guy, in my opinion.
No, he shouldn't. And Joel's probably thinking, why are you using my name here? I've done nothing. I want nothing to do with this conversation.
I don't even know you people.
Even Alfie Jones, right?
Alfie too. Yeah.
I feel like, why are you bringing up Joel?
It was a good conversation though, right? And I'll say it was respectful. Some people jumped into that conversation and got a little disrespectful. And you obviously know nothing about football. Like, shut up. Just stop.
Joel caught a stray, right? Like, over the weekend, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right. Maybe that should be our second award of the week.
Right. Yeah. Some guy go, but the logo could be, what the hell?
Yeah.
Leave my name out of it.
But there's that meme, the video meme where the guy drives up to a group of kids and he starts yelling at the kid in the back seat. I shared it with you. He goes, you fat fuck. And the guy's going, I'm not driving. And like, he's sitting there getting yelled at. And I always think of that when anyone.
Oh, that's right. Car. Yeah. The window. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's funny.
It's like, I'm just sitting here. I'm not driving.
Promise got on the pitch too.
That's a. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
You've got a delay, I think.
Yeah, delay. Yeah,
it's delay.
No, I was going to say that. I mean, that's the beauty of football, isn't it? Is that everybody's got their own opinions, and people make comparables, and sometimes you're like, why would that be a comparable? But people just see it differently, and what we see or what they see is completely different sometimes, but. That's why it's I love the game because everybody sees it so different and everybody appreciates certain players that the others don't, and then others see this guy as a stud, and that's the beauty of football, and that's why it's so good, and that's why we always have something to talk about, is because everybody's opinions are different at times.
That'd be a good segment, the wrong opinion of the week. Someone on social media, this guy said this, what's he thinking about? Jesus.
I love what that idiot. From Footy Prime's perspective. Football's brilliant, everybody has different opinions, except you're wrong.
We'll agree that you're completely wrong in this case.
Don't agree with that.
So Promise comes on late for Brighton. Good match against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. Chelsea 2-0 to start the season. But it was nice to see Promise get out. He looks good in the Brighton kit, doesn't he?
He looks good in any kit.
He does. Yeah, he wears it well. Yeah.
Yeah.
The stature on him, I was like, is he on yet? Is he on yet? Because I was watching the highlights. And then it was immediately apparent that he was on because you're like, oh, he's 4 inches taller than everybody else. He's a man out there. And some guy trying to cover him on Bolton's, I think, third goal. It was Bolton's.
You mean
Chelsea.
Brian
Bolton.
Chelsea. Brian Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
Brighton, sorry. Bolton was...
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm close. Brighton's so third goal. It was a close call. Game. Brighton's third goal, it was in from the left side, but Promise was right in the middle, and he kind of blocked off one of the players, and it was like the guy hit a wall. And it was just apparent to me, when you have someone with that size and athleticism and strength, what kind of chaos it can cause in the box.
Mm-hmm. It is chaos. He's going to cause a lot of chaos. He really is. Stakio. You mentioned Bolton. So your Stakio Swansea championship again. Looked really good. Got an assist. His actually stats for that game were outstanding as well. Overall, Tejon started in Spain. What else we got here? Oh, Jason Russell-Rowe scored in France for Toulouse.
Cracker.
Yeah, beautiful goal. Good player. Like, no one talks about him, but he's a good player, and Jesse Marsh definitely has him on his radar. So overall, you know, what a weekend it was for Canadians. Anyone else missing?
There were a few.
Probably.
Jay Nelson came on too.
Oh, did he? He got minutes? At Bolton. That's why we're thinking Bolton here, right?
Yeah.
At Bolton.
Yeah. Okay. John David didn't score. Craig and I were talking on the dark web, you know, all these goals flying in on Saturday. Well, it's got to be a day now for John David. And he did start, though, for Juventus, in fairness. But now there's lots of rumors. They're hot and heavy, these rumors. Hot and heavy. about John David off to Atletico Madrid. Obviously, Julian Alvarez is probably on his way out there, probably. They hate each other now. Atletico and Simeone and Alvarez. So they got to find a striker. Can Juve find a replacement? That was what I think Romano was reporting that. But John David to Atletico Madrid wouldn't be the worst situation, Craig, would it? A pretty massive club, contender in Spain on all fronts.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, the actual game itself, I was a little disappointed for him, pretty much ineffective. And then the worst part is his replacement comes on, and 5 minutes later he scores. So doesn't look great for Jonathan David. He's just missing that little cutting edge at the moment. He's obviously knows that the club don't fancy him. The manager doesn't fancy him. And that's always a tough situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. Still, I mean, listen, Atletico Madrid, Simeone loves his strikers to work hard, which is what John David does. So let's see that transpires. That'd be exciting. Another Canadian in Spain as well, which is always exciting.
Yeah. That's true. And I think previously they were monitoring Nicholas Jackson, and then he joins Villa, right? So that's who they had their eye on. And I think I've also read that they're not looking for him to replace the likes of a Julian Alvarez, even though they want to keep him, right? Despite all the discord and everything that's happening there. But they're looking at him as a depth piece. So I think that speaks to how his stock has plummeted. I think in the way that people look at him versus, you know, he leaves Lille on a free, he ends up at Juventus, but I think prior to that, when he was scoring prolifically in Liga, I mean, his stock was, he was being talked about as one of the best footballers in the world game, best strikers.
He was prolific, and his stock was very, very high. It's amazing how fickle this business can be. You can have a questionable season.
Sharms, if you don't mind, if I can bring it back to the Prem too and Man City, and how well Pep Guardiola has his team prepared this season.
Guardiola.
Can we just talk about how Enzo Maresca and Pep look exactly the same? He was walking towards the camera. And I was like, is Pep still coaching Man City?
I know.
They are identical people.
We've discussed this before, right? And I think it's wrong. You got to, if you're going to replace the great Pep Guardiola,
Go with a fat ginger.
You have to find someone that looks very different. Yeah.
The fat ginger. That's the pep oxymoron, a fat ginger.
Well.
That's funny.
It's a lot of pressure though, right? You've got big shoes to fill if you're Maresca and you look so similar to Pep. Because remember when he was at Chelsea and Chelsea was sucking and we were like saying that maybe it's actually, this is one of them. It's just Pep. He's doing both jobs because he always played Saturday or Sunday. And it was like this kind of, Pep was playing double agent type of thing, kind of going down and
Peps.
Screwing up Chelsea. Peps.
It's running Peps. Back and forth.
How long do you think before Pep gets back in football? Do you think it's going to be this season? Or he'll probably wait till the summertime, right? He wants a year off, he says. What do you think, Jimmy? I mean, we want to see Pep back in there.
Of course we do. He'll take a year off. He'll do what he did before you end up going to Bayern Munich. He'll take that year off, reevaluate the situation, probably come up with some new tactics and ways that he wants to play, and then he'll decide where he's going to go. Listen, when he's, being Pep, he can go wherever he wants in the world, and any club would take him in a heartbeat because he's just – so successful wherever he goes. Barcelona killed it. Bayern killed it. Man City killed it. The guy's a winner. And he's a game changer when it comes to tactics and style of play. So, like, where would you go?
Well, Craig, you have to go right now.
Germany, Spain, England.
I want to talk. Yeah, Craig, you got to leave. Don't be late for your appointment. Whatever you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks. Pep can go anywhere he wants, but it's who can afford him.
Yeah.
What is Pep prepared to take? Because maybe he's got all the riches in the world. Maybe he wants a challenge. Isn't that where you want to see him, though? Honestly, forget the super clubs. Of course, they're going to come knocking on the door to Pep and he can go where he wants. But wouldn't you like him to say, you know what? I've achieved everything in football. Let's take a club in a lower division and see if we can build it into something. A team with ownership who have ambition. Where there's potentially some money, maybe a fallen giant.
Wrexham.
Yeah, when Phil Parkinson, you know, he's been there for a long time. At some point, he's got to leave. Walk in there. Can you see Pep in Wales?
Mm. What about the international game? Wouldn't that be the challenge that he's
creating? Italy offered him the job, right?
Yeah.
He said no.
But I mean, too soon. So if he takes his year, he reevaluates, he recharges, give him a pep in his step.
See you, pal. Don't you think, though, Pep needs to be involved day to day? He seems to me to be that kind of football coach where he has to be like always there. I wonder whether he'd be stimulated enough from what's happening with our pitchers here?
Where's Jimmy gone? What happened to
we just
Jimmy?
Lost Jimmy?
I didn't touch Jimmy. Jimmy might have taken himself out by mistake.
don't you think he needs to be that involved, his hands all over the club? As opposed to international, where he's just going to go to games and watch. Maybe it's time for him, but I don't know. Dubs, he strikes me to be the kind of manager that wants me involved more.
Yeah, he's a micromanager, right, to the nth degree. But I think you can still do that. I mean, despite the fact that, you know, the reality of it is that you have, you know, six windows across the year, or maybe if you get in, you've got like a cycle and then it can be a really concerted effort and ramping up to really big competitions. And then the preparation is more in a day-to-day, even though you're not on the pitch with your players on a day-to-day. And then if you want to transform the national team setup, the federation, much the way, say, Jesse Marsh has his fingerprints all over like the DNA of what Canadian football is, along with Ken and Heiner Moeller and Casey Stoney. I think that Pep would thrive in that type of environment where he could really build something and have a legacy attached to it.
International seems for the head coach more chessy, like playing chess and building your squad and you have a little more, it seems like you have more control because you're not dealing with all the contracts and who's getting along with whom. Am I right? Or is that a good assumption or a fair assumption?
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're asking.
That international coaching for a national team, you get to kind of play chess more, build your team around how you would like it to play instead of, hey, contracts at the end, you're stuck with who you have. Your club owner can come on the field and yell at people. I guess what I'm saying is it seems like you have more control in international national team sides than playing at Prem or Serie A or wherever, La Liga, that your owner slash contracts slash where these people want to play are seem much more like variables that can affect things.
Well, at the same time, though, you actually probably have fewer players to choose from internationally.
No, for sure. Quality. For sure. You know? But it, yeah, I don't know.
It's a different beast, right, Jimmy? International management compared to club management in so many different ways. I think the pressure for an international manager in that, you know, if you're coaching a top team, you have really, you have two, forget Nations League for a second, you've got two tournaments. You've got your Confederation tournament, be it Euro or, you know, it's Copa, and you've got a World Cup. And every match, the pressure is just intense. You've got to get results. There's no growth for
international.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, that depends where you're at as well. I mean, if you're in Germany or England or Argentina, like there's results that you have to get and that are expected. But then if you're taking a middle of the road national team, you know, their expectations are different as well. It's always, for me, with international football, you don't have much time with the team as well, right? You might have 4 or 5 days before going into certain games, not even. And you're picking players based on their performances. So you're watching them playing in their domestic leagues to see how they're doing, seeing who's in form. And again, you have no control of their day-to-day, right? And then players get injured. And then now all of a sudden you've got to go watch another player and maybe he's in form and you got to bring him in. So you don't have much time to prepare. Really, it's just kind of maintenance, keep them ticking, try to get your style of play or whatever your tactics are going to be implemented within a couple of days and hope to God that they get a result. I think, me personally, I enjoy the day-to-day when you're with your squad and you're working with your players and, you know, you're building a different kind of relationship. It's always hard as an international manager and trying to get those results because, like you said there, you've got a couple of major tournaments and you get a few friendlies throughout a year and that's your preparation going into it. So, again, it's your expectation from your federation as well as what they want. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine the pressure on those big ones. I mean, if England didn't get to a World Cup, my God, you'd be out the door so quick.
Look at Italy. How many have they gone through
the last few years? Right? Loads. Loads. Like, yeah. Those are the heavy jobs, right, in international football.
Yeah. Be interesting, though, wouldn't it? Be a great documentary. Hmm? Can Pep Guardiola coach poor players? Not to say that all the Fijians out there, I apologize. Maybe there's some great youth coming through the system there.
Right. He could do like a Thomas Rongen and go coach Western Samoa.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, precisely. Brilliant. Moving on here, I want to talk about, so very briefly, so Liverpool scrounge a point, right, against Forest, Jimmy, you know?
Yeah.
Loving Forest.
God, interesting game. Twice up.
I know. But what I found hilarious was the substitute board gate. Airola is pissed off that the fourth official couldn't get the board for the subs up in time. And then to the point where Alisson coming off the pitch because they couldn't get the subs in time, and then Forrest win a penalty late in the game. Alisson was so pissed off. As he walks off the pitch, he kicks the board. Like, it's all the board's fault. It got me thinking, like, was there anything – I want to hear from our players here. Maybe you too, Wonga, you know, maybe in your,
probably
your
not, yeah,
other football career. But when you just lost the plot and did something stupid, Dubs, do you ever kick anything that you shouldn't have kicked?
A player, water, probably. No, not like a locker room tantrum or anything. Oh no, I mean I've thrown water bottles but like by myself, not performative in front of people to try to prove a point or to show that I'm pissed off.
Well, it's performative for you, Dubs.
Well, it just felt good, but like I didn't have like a point
feel good?
To prove.
Did it feel
did.
Good?
Yeah, really? Because like I didn't bust anything. I didn't smash a mirror. I didn't like bust up a stall. I just threw a water bottle. Like, it's pretty tame as far as those things go. I do remember though, Evan Pellerud, it ended up, we were in Australia. It was the first time we ended up beating China in 2000. And we were leading the game and it looked like we were going to like have it all sewn up in regular time, in normal time. And then we conceded really late. and then Evan kicked the kind of the sport bag that had the pinnies and the cones in it, and this thing must have gone 12 or 13 feet into the air. It was hilarious. I mean, not so hilarious at the time because we were staring down the barrel of extra time and then penalties, and we eventually did win. But like when you see your coach do that on the touchline, like sometimes for me, it never strikes the fear of God in me. Like sometimes I have to stifle the giggles. You know, I mean, obviously contextually, it's what's happening in the game and like what type of pressure filled situation it is. But sometimes it's really hard to not laugh.
Especially when there's an anvil in the bag.
Yeah, he just falls over.
Oh, my foot. It hurts so much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. We were playing Sunderland. I mean, for me, it was when I kicked that guy up the ass and I ended up getting
right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But then, when you were on loan, right?
Yeah. I was at Norwich. We were playing Sunderland and Nigel Worthington was the manager at the time. Anyways, it was a game that we had to win. I think we were down 1-0 at the Stadium of Light. A halftime comes in and you've got these big metal skips, okay? That all your boots go in for the kit man. So you got two of them, one's for your molds and one's for your six studs, okay? So he comes in at halftime and normally these boxes are empty because players all taking their boots out. So he's turned around and he's throwing things around the dressing room and he just volleys this box. Now, if nothing's in it, it's quite light. But what he did was he kicked the box that was full. Okay, of boots, the extra pairs of boots. He broke his foot.
Okay? Oh, no.
And as he volleys it, you know when you kick something hard, your leg swings back because you shouldn't have kicked it? And I'm looking, I'm going, fucking hell, that's heavy. That's full of all the boots, right? And he's still yelling at everybody, giving everybody shit. But now he's got this really bad limp because he's hurt himself. But he's trying not to anything. So we've all just put our heads down because we've known like he's talking himself up here. The next day he comes in, he's got that boot on because he's messed up his foot.
The walking boot.
Yeah.
Did he acknowledge it?
Broke his foot.
Oh my God.
Did we laugh?
The famous one was Fergie kicking the ball, allegedly. At the ball, the boot, and hitting Beckham in the face right across above the eye. That's a famous one there back in the United days. Yeah, that's hilarious. Ralph Prieto's broken his ankle.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
I didn't know about that. No.
I know. It popped up late last night. I'm perusing.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. Brutal. Messi scored 4 goals against Montreal Dubs.
Yeah.
One of them was incredible, I think, or just awful defending. But that's why he's there in MLS, right? Because he can still do this, and he's just loving it. I don't care what you've won in your career, how good you are, but it's the end of the season. You can go to a league where you can kind of dominate every team. It's got to be fun, hasn't it?
It's got to be fun, but what's going on, Montreal? Like, how abject is your performance that was the final 7-1? Is that what I saw? Like, what's going on there? I mean,
you're
care
no longer
you're
consulting
playing.
With them, Dubs. So that maybe that's it's since you didn't re-sign with Montreal, we've seen them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's direct correlation for sure.
It's the opposite of a Price is Right yodeler. Yeah. It's going. Doo, 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 doo.
It's just the end where it falls off the cliff.
Right, falls off the cliff. That's right.
Yeah, it's been their MLS performances since then.
Sorry, I'm trying to find this Ralph Prieto story. Sorry,
No. I just, because we're talking about Montreal, we have to give a shout out. We were talking about Canadians of the Week. And so player of the week, we've all kind of decided it's Liam Miller with Kyle Larin coming second with the silver. But up there is all the fans who attended the Roses match at Saputo Dubs. Mm-hmm. 17,007 people setting a record for NSL. What does this mean? How cool is this?
Oh, it's awesome. The only thing that wasn't cool about it is that I had to call that game from Toronto, from Stats Saputo. Because Stats Saputo is just a brilliant place. Like, we talk about our lack of infrastructure and soccer-specific infrastructure in this country, but Stats Saputo is one of the beauties in this country, and it's so fun to be on the call there and to be able to soak up that energy and that atmosphere in the place was electric. And the first half was begging for a goal because the game was fairly open, lots of chances on both sides, but nobody could find that composed finish. Nobody had that clinical edge, but it was still a really entertaining match, like both to call, but I'm sure for the people who were there in attendance. And it shows that Montreal is a sports city. Like, it's a market that loves sports, but it is there and it shows up for women's sports. So they had, I think, about, they'd broken the record on the Friday, which was set at BMO Field when the Roses were the away side versus AFC Toronto to kick off the Northern Super League, or actually the second game of the first year. So it was kind of cool to see that. I mean, Montreal is also a crowd that, or a city and fans that look at the weather and was like, does this day, is it well suited for me to show up to this game? So I think you got like another 2,000 or 3,000 walk-ups at the gate, which was so cool. But then to see Anne-Valerie Seto, who played for the Tides, it was the Tides versus the Roses. She played for the Tides last year, and then she tried out this year. Robert Rossitoyou, who's since been sacked, and now the interim head coach is Maurice Bard-Martel. He's like, there's no room for you in the middle of the pitch. Mm-hmm. But she's a local player. She wanted to train with the team. They were amenable to that. So now she's playing on the right side of a back three, and she scores off of a service from Mimi Alidou, another local person just from the South Shore of Montreal, same place where I'm from, to another local kid for the game-winning goal. So the place exploded, and it was just really emblematic of everything the Northern Super League stands for and everything it means to have a professional women's soccer team in the city of Montreal. So I was thrilled for her, and it's great for the league because I think it really showcased what it offers, and it also showcases what the league has done in, you know, a year and a half, you know, like how much progress they've made with the on-pitch product. It's a really entertaining kind of sport and league, and the athletes deserve to be supported. But it's not about deserving, because I heard that narrative before the game is like, oh, the women now deserve to play in a stadium like Stade Saputo. It's not about deserving. It's about the opportunity now, like what's possible by showing up, playing in these venues and seeing the support that's there. That's more than just families and friends and little girls. It's everybody who loves sport and loves to support women professional athletes. Brilliant.
Patrice Bernier, who's invested in the club, obviously had a great post on social. He went there with his niece and I think his daughters, and it was really, you know, well written, explaining just that, what it means for the greater good now, as opposed to just that one occasion. I'm trying to find this Ralph Parisseau. I wonder if I was suckered in on the web by some misinformation. Oh, really? I can't find anything about it right now about Parisseau's ankle being broken.
That's my job, Sharms.
Yeah, I know. But maybe, well, so take that with a grain of salt.
Okay, until, all right. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, exactly. TFC drew, and I want to get very quickly, we're almost out of time here, but so TFC, they drew New York City FC, but there were major boos of the U.S. anthem, which I'm fine with. There are times when it's fucking fine. Okay, this whole disrespectful. Well, you know what? There's a lot of disrespect out there right now. So, on this particular occasion, if Canadian teams want to boo the American anthem, I'm all for it. Just putting that out there.
Happens everywhere. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I find it all very performative. Get a trade deal done. Let's go.
Yeah, but the fans can't. I don't think it's the fans. They can't get it done.
No, they
can't. All they can do is boo.
It's up to them. It's up to the booing fans to negotiate a deal.
Another tidbit from NSL. Did you guys see the goal that Kaylee Hunter
strike? Oh, my God. What a beauty.
Yeah. So they finally break the curse at BMO.
Yes.
So they were winless there since the NSL kicked off. So 2-0 victory for them over once league leading Ottawa Rapids. So they've faltered now. They're on a 4-game skid without a win. And the Roses, in front of that record-breaking crowd, leapfrogged them into first place. But that good goal, for AFC Toronto.
That goal, though, see, I haven't seen all the angles of it. So it's a free kick just outside the area, which is kind of often hard to score, right? But she just roofs it. Did the wall just break apart? Was the wall terrible?
I think the wall, in retrospect, like we were just talking on the call about how brilliant the strike was, because she just lashed it into the net. There was like no curve, no swerve on it, just pure power. And looking at it again, like, how did they set up their wall? Like, Mel Dajnev for the Ottawa Rapid, it was a five-player wall, but left the right of the wall, like a couple of players worth of space. Mm. So, like, I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, and that takes away from a great goal, unfortunately, when the wall doesn't do its job.
You still have to strike it.
No, it's a great strike.
Deliver, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, Pacific won. They won for the first time.
I was going to say that. I think for the first time in, 20 games, I think it was? I think their last win was last August.
Jesus. Yeah, it's been over a year. I know it was earlier this month they said it was the one calendar year.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And it was in the 97th minute.
Ended up winning 4-3 against Halifax.
Yeah. Crazy. Calgary in first place now as well, Forge. Crazy. They lost on Friday. So CPL, it seems you got your top four teams. We know who they're going to be. But
our friend Nate Ingham is out there enjoying himself again, right? Like, one with Ottawa, goes out, gets kind of poached out to go to Calgary, ends up there doing all the things he wants to do, business-wise, football-wise, and now he's in first place again. So good on you, Nate. We're cheering for you.
Did you see his assist? I think it was last weekend.
No, I didn't
see. Yeah, to Warshevsky. Beautiful. Just teed one up for him, pitched, and then Warshevsky waits for it to come down and just dinks it over the goalkeeper. It's amazing. Lovely.
It's great. It's great. Okay, listen, we're out of time. Unless there's something else you have to get to within 1 minute.
No, I was just really quickly, I just was thinking how annoyed Dubs would be. She can't admit it, but flying into Toronto to call the game when the game's actually in Montreal.
Yeah.
I see your face.
I know. And also my kids who like understand now, but they're just like,
nothing worse.
Wait, hang on. It's here, but you're going there. Like, Yeah. And Marie-Ève Noe and our friend Ollie Tremblay for RadCan, like, so jealous, so much FOMO because they were in the stadium. And I love to call games at Stade Saputo. Mm. Love it.
TV's a funny old business. It's a funny old world, eh? Just be happy that you get the opportunity to call games, Dubs.
I know, I am, and yet.
Jimmy?
I used to get frustrated because the studio used to be in Mississauga, and I was calling a game that was played at York, I would drive by the stadium, right by the stadium, and then head an hour to Mississauga to call the game that I just drove by. Hated it.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I should say just real quickly, I bumped into three Ottawa Rapid players on my coffee run yesterday. I was staying at the West
Edmonton
Castle. What? No, stop it. That's not the optics we want in this league. But it was Molly Erickson, Kira Mellenhorst, and Mel Forbes for the Ottawa Rapid. And I know them all, obviously. And it was Molly Erickson was like, and I wasn't even on my phone. I was just dans la lune. I was just kind of looking, listening to a podcast or something. She's like, Amy Walsh. And I was like, hi. But you know players so well, but you've never actually met them in person. So we had a great chat. And they're like, well, we'll see you later at BMO. And I was like, no, you won't. No, you won't. I'm going to be up in studio.
I'm over here.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, everyone. Well, listen, that's Faye Prime for another day. We're back on Wednesday. Is there a broadcast this week, Dubs? And if so, what day?
Likely either late on Tuesday, dropping Wednesday, or Wednesday morning. So just a day later than typical.
Or a day earlier compared to last week.
Yeah.
That's true, because we had the Casey Stoney interview, but it's usually on a Tuesday.
So good still.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. If you haven't heard the interview with Casey Stoney, listen to it.
Yeah. Follow the socials too, because we have all the great bits, because just the fact that she was saying, you know, I haven't really been able to pick my own squad. And that was, it was insightful, right?
Yeah, because of fitness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Broadcast later this week. We're back on Wednesday as well. And maybe an interview this week. We'll wait and see. But BetMGM keeps on making it legendary.
Legendary.
So aggressive, Jimmy.
All right, everyone. Have a lovely week, everyone. Enjoy the football games, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
I know. Yeah. The Dolly Parton.